Welcome to our next session on dispensational truth. And today we're going to be looking briefly at the dispensation of promise. And the dispensation of promise took place over a period of about 430 years. And it began with the call of Abram in Genesis chapters 11 and 12. And it follows right through Exodus chapter 18 with the giving of the law. And there is new revelation needed for a new dispensation, and this dispensation is no different than any other. And so we have promises made in the book of Genesis, and the entire dispensation of promise takes place in the final 38 chapters of the book of Genesis. And so we see also the age of innocence in Genesis, and that took only three chapters to describe. The age of conscience is given six chapters. The age of human government is given eight chapters, and then 38 for the dispensation of promise. And so that means that the remaining four dispensations are covered, or the first four dispensations are covered in just one Bible book, in the book of Genesis. And that means that the remaining three, law, grace, and kingdom, are given the other 65 books of the Bible to cover that time frame. So basically, so there's an awful lot of revelation in the final three, not much in the first three, and we have 38 chapters in Genesis that deal with the subject of the dispensation of promise. So we have, what's unique about this dispensation is that this new revelation is given primarily to one man, to Abram, and also was intended for his descendants. And we know that the judgments that fell on Babylon resulted in the nation, in people being scattered and nations formed all around the world, many nations, and they're listed in Genesis chapter 10. But here we see in the dispensation of promise, with all of those nations scattered around the world, God chose one man out of Ur of the Chaldees, Abram, and he made promises to this man. God made a promise with Abraham that was unconditional in nature. And as soon as Abraham left his father's country, then that covenant would be unconditional. And God promised, he said, I will, many times, making the fulfillment of it certain. So the rest of the book of Genesis is all about Abram and his seed. We have the story of Abram's call and his journey into the land. We have the story of Lot and his carnality in Sodom and Gomorrah. We have the story of the lives of the patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob. We have the story of Joseph being sold into slavery and ending up being the prime minister of Egypt. And there we also see the preservation of Abram's seed. God intervened and made sure that that seed was preserved and would not perish in that great time of famine. And so interestingly, the book of Genesis, which is really a book of beginnings, it's the beginning of life, the beginning of the universe. And so here, this book that begins all life for us, it ends in a coffin in Egypt. Kind of ironic in a sad sort of a way. And we have the dispensation of promise unfolds in these final 38 chapters, and it gives us the whole story of that time frame, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there was quite a bit of ugly in those days. Now, the main portion of the promise is found in the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12, where God says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee up out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee, in Abram and his seed, shall all families of the earth be blessed. So here we have, in kernel form, in seed form, if you will, the foundation to the entire superstructure of other covenants that would be built upon this foundation, the Abrahamic covenant. And promises were made to Abram in that day, and it was a radical change in stewardship for mankind with respect to the previous dispensations. These promises were not made to Ishmael, or that line of Abram, but only the promised line of the seed through Abraham, through Jacob. And these promises were not made to the Egyptians or the Moabites. They weren't promises directly for the church. They were promises made for Abraham and his physical seed. And there were three different aspects of this promise. There was the personal aspect. God promised to bless Abraham, and he promised to make his name great. And Abraham is well known in Christianity and Judaism and Islam as well. And God also promised to make him a blessing to others. And certainly the seed of Abraham, the Jewish nation, has been such a blessing to the world in their literature, their art, their music, their science and medicine, have made many wonderful contributions to mankind. So there were personal blessings that were promised to Abraham and his seed, and blessings coming through that seed. And there were also national promises. God said he would make, in verse 2, of him a great nation, and that God would bless those that blessed that great nation and curse those that cursed them. And so those that cursed Israel were cursed by the Lord. And you just read about Babylon and Assyria and Rome and other nations. So God made promises to make of that seed a great nation. And there were universal promises, promises that went beyond just that seed. God said from that seed he would bless all families of the earth. So the fulfillment of the promise of the blessing for all nations, all families of the earth, that comes through the seed, and that seed is Christ. And so Christ would come through that promised line of Abraham, and he would bring blessing, he would bring salvation offered to the whole world. And so we see in Genesis chapter 15, there was a promise that God made to Abraham in his old age of a physical seed. And he also promised Abraham in Genesis 15, a land, a physical land, an earthly piece of property, real estate in the Middle East. And this was a literal promise from the Lord to be literally fulfilled. And these promises that God made to Abraham were later reiterated to his sons, to Isaac in Genesis 26, and to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. So as dispensationalists, we take God's word at face value. We take God's word to mean just what it says. God made literal promises to Abraham and to his seeds, his seed, and we expect that they're going to be fulfilled literally. And in fact, the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, that God promised Abram and he certified it by making an oath. Now, God's word is sufficient, but when God gives his word and then makes an oath of its fulfillment, it is doubly certain, doubly secure. So here we have a new dispensation, a new rule of life. And what made this rule of life so unique was that the promises God made to Abraham were to influence the way he lived and the way his descendants lived. They were to walk by faith, in simple faith, trusting in the promises that God made, that they would be fulfilled one day. And they were to walk by faith, trusting that the Lord would do exactly as he said. So it was a dispensation in which the responsibility was to simply trust God. And there were responsibilities that went along with that. The patriarchs were told in Genesis 26, they were to dwell in the land and trust God as they did. God gave them promises, and he expected Abraham and his seed to trust in those promises and just wait in childlike faith for the Lord to fulfill all those promises. And that faith was their rule of life. They were to have faith in the promise. They were to trust in God no matter what their circumstances were. And we know that Abraham did believe. He was saved. We're told in Genesis chapter 15 that Abraham believed on the Lord and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In fact, Paul uses Abraham as the ultimate example of salvation by grace through faith in Romans chapter 4. And by the way, just another reminder, because the critics never cease, dispensationalists believe in only one means of salvation. In every age, it's always been the same way Father Abraham was saved, by grace through faith. So their responsibility in that dispensation was simply to walk by faith, to trust God, and allow that confidence and faith in God to influence the entire way they lived. Another responsibility given in Genesis 17 was they were to circumcise all males, and that was to be a sign of the covenant that God made. And so this was yet one other responsibility. But as in all dispensations, man failed. And how did Abram and his seed fail? Well, in Genesis 12, we're told, right after God gave him the promise, and that Abraham was to trust in the Lord to take care of him, a famine came and Abram left the land and he went down into Egypt. And his seed went down into Egypt eventually. And so each of the patriarchs failed to trust in God's promise. Another failure in the dispensation of promise was Abram was trusting. He was supposed to be waiting on God's promise of a son. Abram was getting on in age, and his faith began to diminish a bit. And instead of waiting upon the Lord, he decided to go in unto Hagar and have a son with Hagar. And he did have a son, but that was not the son of promise. That was not an act of faith. That was an act of disobedience. He didn't want to wait for the Lord, so he took matters in his own hands. And that was a failure on his part. And we see also in Genesis chapter 25 that God promised Isaac that his younger son would be the son of promise. But Isaac failed too. And Isaac didn't trust God, and Isaac attempted to bless Esau. And God had to intervene and make sure that that didn't happen. So Abram and the patriarchs failed. And we see also that God promised to bless Jacob. And yet Jacob didn't trust the Lord either. And they allowed circumstances to cause them to swerve away from their faith, and that influenced the way they lived. And so each of the patriarchs demonstrated through these chapters in Genesis that they failed to trust in the Lord. They failed to trust in his promises. And how did they demonstrate that? Well, one way was they sold their brother Joseph into slavery. They were going to kill him, and they decided to make a little money off it, and they sold him into slavery. The sons of Jacob failed to trust God in the book of Exodus, when we see they were to go into the land, and they complained and they murmured and they didn't trust the Lord. There was failure there, failure after failure. And so, again, this dispensation proves that regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the requirements, men are always failures. And the addition of these wonderful, marvelous promises of God did not result in righteousness in their lifestyle. The sons of Abraham, you read the story. They lied, they committed adultery with the handmaids, they went into harlots, they committed murder, kidnapping, selling a brother into slavery. These were not sterling examples of character. And there are some sad chapters in the book of Genesis. And so God had to judge. Every dispensation ends in failure, and that failure brings upon the judgment of God. And there were two major ways in which the Lord judged in the dispensation of promise. And the first was slavery. The Jews, the nation of the entire body of Jews, became slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And Jacob's 12 sons all died in Egypt. They were slaves for four centuries. They were afflicted by the taskmasters. They were forced to build cities for Pharaoh. Their lives were bitter. They had a painful, difficult experience. And what we see in the book of Genesis is that this judgment was unique in that it was on Abram's descendants through Jacob exclusively. Why? Because it was Abram's descendants through Jacob exclusively to whom the promises were made. They were the ones that failed, and they were the ones that were enslaved. So Ishmael wasn't part of that slavery in Egypt. The judgment of God fell selectively because the promises were made very selectively. And we see in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, God says to the Jews, I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will. Those are the words of an unconditional promise. God says, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will, unconditionally, rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and great judgments. Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will, and here's the other part of the promise, I will bring you into the land concerning in the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. And why? How can they be sure? Because the one who said it says, I am the Lord, God. And so here the Lord promises the seed of Abraham after many, many failures. God still promises that this seed would continue. Even though they had to be judged, even though they were sold into slavery, failure on the part of the patriarchs to whom the promises were made, failure does not diminish the promise, the unconditional promise, one iota. The fulfillment of it is certain. And we just saw that in Exodus 6, how God says over and over again, I'm still going to do what I promised to you, even though you need to be punished and you need to be brought into bondage in Egypt for a while. And the dispensation of promise ends with God's assurance to Abram's seed that his promises remain intact in spite of their many, many failures. And another aspect of the judgment of God because of their failures, attempted genocide. In Exodus chapter 1, there was an attempt to destroy all the male babies that were born, kill them. And that would have ruined the nation of Israel. Over time, they would have just been completely annihilated. The women would have had to either die single or marry outside of Israel. Genocide. It was a judgment, but it was also a test of their faith. Would they trust God to bring blessing to the world through their seed or not? Even when it appeared that their seed was going to be wiped out, would they trust God? Remember, God made promises to that seed, that had eternal ramifications. So would they trust God after 4 centuries of bondage in Egypt? And then the ultimate blow when they were attempted to have them wiped off the face of the earth. And here we see an expression of God's grace and faithfulness. They didn't deserve protection, but God protected them in Egypt, and God brought them through safely. And so the dispensation of promise ended as every other age ends, in man's failure and God's judgment. Would the promises cause the world to operate in peace and love and harmony? Would it bring about peace on earth, goodwill towards men? No, it ended in failure. And so once again, the whole design of this is to demonstrate to men, we need a savior. We cannot save ourselves.